Welcome into a unique edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You can be customer number 1,201,368 if you want to be. That's how many satisfied customers have driven through the doors, actually walk through the doors, they don't drive through the doors, been through Ed Morse dealerships across the state of Florida for more than 73 years, family-owned and family-owned right here at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, proud presenters of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. And they have some cool things planned. We're going to be talking about that this week in future editions of Ira's podcast, actually the next one, which will pop tomorrow. But why is this episode unique? Well, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, and last week we were going to publish Ira's podcast on Thursday afternoon. And Thursday afternoon is when we learned that our friend and really our Joe Bucks Fan family member, Steve Dumig, the big dog, passed away. For those who didn't listen to him or don't know him, Big Dog was really 25 years or so as a major influencer in sports radio in town, a true sports radio icon who, you know, did a fantastic job. But his influence and his legacy is really more of how he impacted the whole sports world and how shaped a lot of things as well that were going on. And there's so much to talk about with Steve. I had a personal relationship with him. So did Ira. And Ira will talk about that later in the week. But this podcast is the one that we didn't run on Thursday because we didn't want to sound like we were doing our usual fun time on the podcast in what was a sad time. So this episode was recorded before Dumig passed away, but it's running after now. And all the stuff is good. There's a lot of good nuggets in here. Everything's still fresh. And Ira had talked to Bruce Arians one-on-one. So did I a little bit. And we've got some other things there. So I think you're going to have a great episode today. And we'll be back with a new episode tomorrow that was already recorded. And then we'll do yet another one from One Buck Place later this week. So we are not skipping anything, just moving some things around out of respect to what happened last week with Steve Dumig. All right, now, the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We all know, Ira, how much he supports Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We got some really cool things planned that just were confirmed. But first, we want you to go over to edmorsecadillactampa.com. There you're going to see all the great offers that end at the end of this month. Not in June, this month, 2019 Cadillac models, in-stock models, zero down, zero security, zero first month. All the offers right there at edmorsecadillactampa.com. They are just west of 275 on Fletcher. And yes, Ira is going to be driving a Cadillac very soon. We can't wait to really give out all those details. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that's definitely happening. And longtime listeners of the podcast will really appreciate that and how it's going to go down. Also at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, their support is fantastic. They're right there on Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to. Get to their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Now you're here for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. So let's get right to them. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. We're back here at One Buck Palace. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is in the house, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. That sage is Mr. Ira Kaufman. Now, before I introduce ourselves, Ira, how are you, man?
You got to start with a story, Lee. That's the best way to start. And I got one.
Annie Sabo?
No, this one's legit. Annie Sabo's not legit.
You beg to differ.
Well, it's not legit with putting her and me in the same sentence. That's not legit. I'm driving down Dale Mabry. It's pouring. It's absolutely pouring. My windshield wipers can't even keep up. And I'm thinking about the Bucks practicing and whatever. And I'm running late, of course. And I called the Kemper up. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a wipeout. I'm going to miss Arians. I'm going to miss the players. You know, and it's like 10:45 and 10, you know, 11 o'clock. And I called the Kemper up and I said, Lee, what's going on? Has Arians been at the podium yet or whatever? He goes, they're in the indoor facility, Ira. Everything's fine. Practice started on time. I forgot all about that they had an indoor facility. I've been here so many years, and now it's not 80 years over there. Steve, don't even thinking about it. But it completely crossed my mind that they got an indoor facility. Today would have been a total wipeout, guys. You know, it took them a while to get it, but they did it right. And today, it really saved them.
Yeah, Ira calls me up and he says, where are you guys at? I said, it's inside today, Ira. And there was a pause.
There was a pause.
You guys are in the media studio? No, Fernando.
There was an absolute pause.
Right, for those unaware of what a wipeout is, it's also known as a washout.
A washout, a wipeout.
We're talking torrential rain. But I have to say, Ira, you know what? You parked at $1 and you walked all the way out.
I did, all the way across the field.
In torrential rain.
Deluge.
For the practice in the indoor facility, and you seem pretty dry. Your umbrella was working.
I had it all going. I got my Vivint hat. My son works for Vivint, big company out in Utah. Home security.
Okay, yeah.
I believe their name's on the Utah Jazz arena.
Oh, is that right?
It's
a billion-dollar company, and then my son's making $1.25 an hour.
And but, they got him going to Houston in the summertime.
And he's in Houston for the summertime. We will visit.
All right, Sage, let me set the stage here. Lee DeCamper is here. That was his voice. You, of course, are the Sage. I'm Steve Isbitz. We're the triumvirate here at JoeBucksFan.com. Intern Zach Seifter is going to be back.
We're warm. Us. We're dry, Steve. We're dry.
We're dry, right, yeah. Here. Nobody's wet. Finished up practice.
And Vernon Hargraves is wet.
And Vernon Hargraves, he's wet. He's thrown under the bus. I don't know. But here's how this goes down, Ira. And this is sort of the interesting news of the day. All right, we're at practice, and I'm watching. I got Hargraves. I see him stretching. He's running with a bungee cord attached to him, working with trainers. But he's not practicing, and he's wearing sweatpants. And so, okay, I ask Arians after practice, Coach, what's with Vernon Hargraves?
You thought he might have been a little under the weather or something?
I don't know. Yeah. I just asked him any significant reason why Hargraves is out. Now, you know how this goes. There's no injury report for OTAs. There's no desire or there's
no obligation.
No obligation. For Arians to say anything. You just say, we're being careful with him today. He could say anything he wants. Well, I ask him, and what does Arians say? You have to talk to Vernon. He's got to get his mind ready to practice. And then there was a pause, and a follow-up question comes to Arians about, why exactly wasn't he mentally ready for practice? And Arians says, Ira, quick reply, you'd have to ask him. Now, you've been around this game a long time. Coaches making comments. They send messages. Media, not through the media. What do you make of all that?
I can hear the sound of 125,000 Buck fans applauding Bruce Arians. Applauding. Here we are in May. We're not even at mandatory minicamp. We're 2.5 months away from training camp. He's already laying down the law. Accountability. Something that one of the Bucks mentioned the other day, Ryan Jensen, was a story on Joe Bucks Fan. What strikes you about this coaching staff? More accountability. Now, Lee, some people would say, well, you're always going to get that with a new staff. You're going to get that feeling. You know, you got to be more on guard. Vernon Hargraves has been warned. He's on guard right now. Strike one. A couple more strikes. And I don't think Bruce Arians cares one bit that he was the 11th player taken in that draft. Not one bit. He's got to win. You don't think Hargraves is mentally ready? I can hear Buck fans saying, go get him, Bruce. Can't you?
I'll be the bearer of bad news and pop some bubbles here. I also remember a first-year coach that ran a player out of practice in underwear football for not having his head in the game, which apparently was Hargraves' sin today. That was none other than Austin Seferian Jackwagon. And Dirk Cutter. How'd things turn out? I hate to say it, but I have to say this may be a little more dark than what we think it is. The reason why I say that is I know Hargraves may have been his rookie year, may have been his second year. He talked about how he got fined for being late to One Buck Palace. And he got stuck in traffic or whatever. And he said, I learned my lesson. Now I'm going to take off earlier. I'm going to have a different route. So getting here on time hasn't exactly been, well, let's just say he's been late once before, if that's what this is. And we all know why ASJ was run out of practice. He was allegedly under the influence of something. Now, I remember minutes before practice started, he was on Twitter retweeting stuff from CNBC about the joys of legal marijuana. You do your own math. I heard rumors that say he was drunk. Well, we know he had an issue with alcohol. So I'm going to be a little darker here. If Hargraves already has done this before, we don't know what the issue is, but I know Hargraves has been late and has been fined for it. Here Arians comes in, you got to get your head into practice. Well, the last time I know that happened, it was ASJ. He had more than his head out of whack. So I'm a little more dire about
you
this.
You know, that starting, to Lee's point, that starting cornerback job, which has been granted to Vernon Hargraves a month or two ago by this coaching staff, that's not written in stone, gentlemen. It absolutely isn't. He's done absolutely nothing the last 2 years. He's been hurt. He's been ineffective since a okay rookie season. Didn't set the world on fire. The guy's got one career pick. Steve, am I correct? I believe it's one. It might be off Brady. I can't remember, but he's got one career pick.
No, it wasn't Brady.
All right, it wasn't Brady.
Cam Newton?
Could be. He don't have a lot to hang his hat on as a professional. It's unusual to hear these kind of comments in May, but Arian said he's not taking any prisoners, and he's not cutting these guys much slack, and I'm glad he's backing up his word, Steve.
What makes it interesting to me, Ira, is that Arians went out of his way on Sirius a couple of weeks ago to say that Vernon Hargraves is the guy he's looking to lead the cornerbacks because he's the veteran in the room and he's putting a lot of pressure on him and he doesn't mind putting that pressure on him to be the guy. And here he is now. He's essentially at the bottom of the heap. Can't practice in OTAs.
He's, you know, don't watch him, he's going to be behind Lee's favorite player, Ryan Smith, on the depth chart.
What does it tell you when Vernon Hargraves is the veteran of the group?
Let that sink in, Lee. Let that sink in.
He's only had one full season.
Yeah, one full season.
And last year, of course, unfortunately for everybody involved, he was hurt in the New Orleans game. But he's the veteran in that group. That's how thin this. And, you know, we've talked at length about GMC and JPP. Those two guys are gone. This defense is thin as thin can be. At least, at best, you could say it's green.
We talked about being in a position to pounce. Arians has talked about it recently. You got to pounce in late August or early September. Those final cuts, some team can't afford a guy. He's too pricey. Not like the Bucks are swimming in money. But we'll see what's happening in the next month or two. Might free up some bucks. Might.
Bucks is in money?
B-U-C-K-S. B-U-C-K-S. Okay. Corner is a position that's in the mix there in terms of having a veteran. Don't you need a veteran corner, Steve? Don't you need one? Somebody in the room?
I believe Claiborne. I think he's still hanging out there.
I think you're right.
Now, it doesn't mean that they have an interest in him, but I think he's still hanging out there. All right, Ira, I wanted to mention that in practice today, one big standout play, Devin White picking off Jameis Winston early on what Arians called a forced throw. And of course, you know, everybody loves to overreact to this stuff. I did talk to White personally after practice, and he said he was very business as usual. He said, this is what I do in practice. No big deal. Lavonne David expressed that he was very impressed that Devin White was so confident in all the calls and all the just his confident in his communication. And White said to me, and I was the only one to talk to him, it was so great to be with professionals who know how to communicate so well on the field. He said, I really like that. And
now, communication has been a problem,
right,
Steve?
That's why I bring it up, Sage.
Yeah. I got a few minutes alone time with Bruce Arians. I'm surprised the Kemper didn't take a picture of that and post it.
I got photos.
Steve's got photos. And I talked to him a little bit about the Devin White, Lavonne David combination when they're in the 3-4 at inside linebacker. And the combination, not so much of the physical traits, but, you know, their temperament, contrasting temperament. One's outgoing, one's reserved. Arians thought it was a perfect marriage. Now, we'll see. They haven't played the first game, and you know, the Kemper likes to say underwear football, and it's a classic phrase. And you'll say it about 20 more times before training camp
starts. I got to give Raheem Morris the credit. He's the one that coined that phrase. And I've used it so much, Dirk Cutter even started using it.
I think being around a guy like Devin White, who I think is going to turn out to be a better player than Quan Alexander, in my opinion, I think it's going to rejuvenate Lavonne David, who has been beaten down. He hasn't been here as long as poor DeMar Dotson, but he's getting there. I think he came in 2012. A lot of losing, Steve. A lot of losing for Lavonne David. And I think the chance to nurture a guy like White, who's got the skill package, sorry, Lee, to be the number 5 pick in the draft, I think that's going to have a positive effect on Lavonne.
All right, Sage, I want to be a little bit fair. Now, I did have a little private time with Arians, which really isn't to be shared here.
And I took a picture of you over there.
You did. But there is one nugget that I think is important. Now, we talked on the last podcast about sort of the weird look of Arians in the golf cart cruising around. So I said,
I asked him today, where's the golf cart? He goes, right outside, baby.
So no golf cart today. He was buzzing around practice, and Arians standing there, I noticed right away, and maybe because I spent a little more time around him in Phoenix and stuff, he lost a lot of weight. And I went up to him, Coach, you looking fit? I thought, you know, we were kind of talking behind the scenes here, saying, oh, maybe he needs that golf cart. He can't walk. He's this, he's that. So you look great. He's like, coach said he lost 15 pounds.
You telling me this after I just scarfed down a Checkers burger and fries?
Anyway, for those wondering who, because a lot of people wonder about Arian's health and all this other stuff, the golf cart look where he just sits there like an old guy. He said he's lost 15 pounds. He's determined to hit another 15. It feels like $1 million. And he laughed when I said, wondering about you. And he said, oh, no, don't worry about my health.
Lee, we got to take him to Burns. We got to take him to Burns. We got to fatten him up a little bit.
You springing?
If I can get Arians for an hour and a half, I'll spring. What struck you, Lee? Anything strike? I'll tell you one thing that jumped out at me. I thought Winston's arm was very, very lively. Mm-hmm. He didn't hit all his throws. He overthrew a couple of guys. Hard to overthrow Perryman, but he did. But the ball came out strong. So anybody who's thinking, you know, he's been working too hard, because that's come up in our podcast, you know, don't overdo it. Christensen's a little concerned about that. He certainly didn't show any signs of having a dead arm out there, Lee.
No.
That ball was coming out strong.
Yeah. I hate to say it, the only thing that really jumped out at me, because you really can't get anything out of underwear football outside the quarterback and cornerbacks. It's really difficult. Linebackers maybe once in a while. And I hate to say it, but this is going to get people all wound up. And I'm not trying to do it on purpose, but it did jump out at me. Guy, give Zach here some credit. He pointed it out to me, because otherwise I'm like, you know, I got a fight to stay with. At any rate, Matt Gay, the kicker, that's like a bazooka, the guy's leg. I mean, that ball just, boom.
Yeah.
It really comes off his foot. It really does. And I still say he looks more like a guard than Alex Kappa.
Apparently, Kappa got a lot of work at right guard today.
Oh,
Mr.
goody-goody.
Benenock working at right tackle.
Yeah, you know what? Arians was asked about, Kappa at right guard. What are you seeing from the guards? Simple answer, nothing.
Yeah, that's a great answer. He's
no,
consistent on that.
He's
not going to grade the linemen, the trench guys at this stage.
He actually said recently it's unfair. It's unfair for the offensive line because you can't do anything physical. It's unfair.
Gentlemen, I saw Ronald Jones in the left flat catch
right.
a football.
Yeah.
I saw it. I should have had the video going on my phone, but I saw it. He didn't juggle it. He didn't bobble it. He grasped it in those strong hands of his, turned upfield. That could have been an 80-yard touchdown.
Maybe that was the same play I saw. I saw him turn upfield and actually run past defenders. And that may be the first time I ever saw him, game, practice, you name it, was like he belonged.
And I saw Jason Light punch the air a little bit, gave it a little, yeah, baby.
Of course, that was one play in underwear football.
Did you see Light and Arians focused on those kickers? Oh, yeah, watching them like a hawk.
These guys did, because I didn't bring my binoculars, so I didn't see them.
Yeah,
these guys got better
eyes than I did. Almost side by side.
Oh, you know, they weren't really side by side, but they were close, and they were peeled in. I mean, it was really interesting, Sage, in my practice notes that we threw up on Joe Bucks Fan. I sort of broke down the little competition of the day. Matt Gay missed a 58-yarder, but the kick had the distance, which I thought was impressive. I agree with Lee. It just pops off his foot. Santos missed his 50-plus yarder, but then Gay ended it with a 52-yarder to close the session. Got a big leg, but it's May. It's just meaningless nonsense.
He's got a bigger leg than Santos. I don't think there's a question
about
it.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, no dispute there. All right, Ira. Now, the kicking competition, though, I think he's going to really enjoy turning it up on these guys and finding ways to get them to compete and try to figure out who's got the mental toughness.
You know, Lee, it could – I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but it could be a bone of contention if Santos outkicks him in training camp. I mean, it's very possible. He's reliable from 40, 45 yards in, Santos. In today's game, I don't think that's enough. I don't think it's enough.
I lean toward your philosophy.
But what if he's out kicking him and Arians has some questions about the rookie and he's untested in pressure situations? And, you know, look, let's be honest. Light's rooting like hell for Gay. I mean, he has to be.
Is he?
He has to be.
Has to be. He's the one that signed Santos.
Yeah, he signed Santos, but nobody's going to rip him if they dump Santos for Gay.
Right now, he can't worry about who rips who. He's got to worry about wins.
Yeah, he's got bigger ripping to worry about than that. All right, Ira, I want to run this by you. You know, Zach, who we're going to bring in soon, he was out there with me at the Donovan Smith bowling fundraiser for...
Of which you coughed up a little cash over there, Stephen.
For
very
autism,
nice.
And... Smith, the one little funny thing, you're going to love this, Ira. So Smith is making, what, $14 million this year? So they announced at the end, you know, how much